And we're talking time traveling this hour with Marie Jones. We'll take some of your phone calls as well on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Marie, what about the possibility of time traveling in your dream state?
I think we do it all the time. I really think that that's one of those situations where the brain and the consciousness, mind, whatever you want to call it, is free to go beyond the limitations of linear time. Certainly hear about so many people who have precognitive dreams where they'll dream about an earthquake that happens in New York City, and sure enough, it happens. And I definitely think that when we dream about the past, we could be dreaming about other realities, parallel universes, other timelines. So I think once we're sort of free from the limitations of the physical body, the mind is free to travel wherever it wants. And that may be the only time travel that we're ever going to get to live with in our lifetime. But hey, in our dreams, anything is possible.
And what do you think might be easier, traveling into the future or going back into time?
Apparently, traveling into the future is easier because, again, you don't have those paradoxes to deal with. But the funny thing is, when just in the natural course of writing the book and talking to people, we always like to ask, if you had the choice, if you could travel in time, would you go to the future or the past? I would say 80%, if not more, of people say they would go to the past. They want to fix something. They have a regret that they want to overcome, or something that they didn't do that they wanted to do, or they want to go back and observe some amazing historical event, as you were talking about earlier. Very few people said they would go into the future, and yet it seems that right now where we stand with time travel research in terms of science, we have been able to move particles, photons, into the very, 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 very nanosecond of the future, but we haven't really had a lot of success doing anything with the past. So I think all these people that want to go back to the past may be in trouble.
See, I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, absolutely.
When it comes to this.
Yeah.
There's so much knowledge out there that we don't have right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. People say, oh, well, maybe it just doesn't exist. I always say, no, it does. We just haven't figured it out yet.
No, exactly. Some time ago when we looked to the skies and thought, hey, we'll never fly. It's the same thing.
Exactly. Or that the Earth was flat. I mean, every time some new piece of knowledge comes along, it sort of pulls the rug out from under everything that we believed up to that point. And so I never say no. I never say never, because who knows what's going to happen in the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I don't even think I can imagine beyond that, the way things are going.
They're happening fast.
Yes. Too fast.
Well, have you noticed that time just continues to speed up, or at least it feels that way?
It does, and I think our perception of time collectively is definitely speeding up, and I think a lot of that has to do, and I know from some of the research that Larry and I did, with the fact that our brains are being bombarded with much more information that our brains have to sort of pick and choose what to filter, what to process, what to give meaning to, what is purposeful, what we need to know for our survival. But we're just being bombarded with distractions and information that makes us feel almost breathless in a physical sense. So imagine what that's doing to the brain when it comes to perceiving time.
Well, you know what fascinates me, and also it's kind of jarring about time, Marie, is you'll look at a person's life. Mm-hmm. And let's say you know them, and they were alive, let's say, 3 years ago.
Right.
And then all of a sudden now they've died. And you wonder if you were with them 3 years ago, if you would think to yourself, you're going to die in 3 years from now.
I know.
And it's hard to hold that. It's hard to grasp that.
It is.
It's a strange form of time travel.
Yeah, it is. You know what else is really strange? If you're in a situation that you really don't want to be in, you're driving in 3 hours of traffic, or you're about to give a presentation to 25, billionaires, whatever, just a real tense, anxious situation, this is always fascinating to me. your anxiety level beforehand is what makes it feel as though that situation is going to go on forever. Once you're actually involved in the experience, it goes by very quickly. So the brain is constantly shifting the way that it perceives time based upon what's happening to you. Like you hear people talk about, I got in a car accident, and just when the other car was about to hit me, it just everything, time slowed down.
Time slowed down. Or the car went right through me and never hit me.
Right, right. And sometimes people will say, you know, Marie, it was like time slowed down, and yet it gave me the opportunity to steer the other direction. Or people will be in a situation where I know when I'm writing, sometimes I'll think, oh, just, you know, I've only been writing for half an hour. I'll look up at the clock and it's like 2 hours later and I'm supposed to go pick my kid up from school. So it really is just a matter of what we're involved in and how our brain is perceiving time.
Let's go to some of the calls here, Marie, for you. Mm-hmm. We'll go to Robin in Poto, Oklahoma. There you go, Robin. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, George.
Hi.
This is going to sound so crazy.
Nah, not on this program.
Yeah, no. I was in bed. We had our bedroom, then we have a den, and then a back door. Something told me, it was like a noise, to go outside, and I follow these people around the block. And we go up around, back down, back, a little, come back down by our house, and there were these stars that came through, and I said, no, they'll burn. No, you can catch them. And was it catching stars? I have no idea who these people were. And they said, do you want to come along with me? And I thought, you know, because it goes right. I know, you know,
they were time travelers.
Yeah, there you go. Because I know, you know, in reality, you know, if I go down the block, you know, I know what houses there are. So we're going down, and then it's blank. And then I'm in this, like, this beautiful building.
Well, let me ask you this, Marie.
Mm-hmm.
If we encounter a time traveler, what might they be wearing from the future? Any idea?
Well, my feeling would be if a time traveler were here, and they were here, and they didn't want to be scalped, or, you know, shut up in some government facility, that they would try to blend in and kind of find out ahead of time what the fashion, what the look was. I don't know. I always feel like if somebody's coming from the future, we will have evolved to a point of simplicity, not just with our physical bodies, but with clothing. And depending on where they're coming from, if they're coming from a very cold place or a very warm place, I would just think that they would want to blend in, though, and unless they really were here to make a big fuss and, you know, say, here I am, everybody, come on, gather around, ask me your questions, I would think they'd want to look like us.
Well, in her case, in Robin's case, you know, maybe they were just balls of energy from other dimensions.
You
know, who knows?
Good point. Why do they have to be human? Why do they have to look like us? Exactly.
No, they don't. Let's go to Schenectady, New York. First time caller. Hey, Brandon. Thanks.
Hey, George. Thanks. How you doing?
Good. Good to have you with us.
Yeah. You know, one thing you have to think. I'm pondering here. Is oh, I'm sorry. I just got a mind blank. There's my nerves going.
That happens to me a lot.
Okay. Well, if time travel is truly possible, do you honestly think that governments would allow people to actually get their hands on it? I mean, it would obviously be something only for the chosen few, because time travel is something more delicate. Time is more delicate than our monetary system. I mean, it's if you so much as touch one little hair in the past, you could change the future forever.
Absolutely. That's those
you know, I mean,
no, you're right.
The butterfly effect.
Governments would not let us time travel willy-nilly like we take airplanes.
No, it wouldn't be like vacations, you know.
No.
A lot of people think that.
No, there would be,
that would be
regulations. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that it could be like a weapon, you know, in the hands of the wrong people, that you could go back and alter the past in such a way that it would just completely.
Well, let me tell you something. You've now said something that is very conceivable.
Mm-hmm.
What if governments know certain things. And they say, okay, if we go back into time, we're sending this elite group of people.
Right.
And we're going to do X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
Before it happens in order to alter the future.
Absolutely.
And they do it almost as if they're this secret clandestine agency.
Right.
I bet they would do that.
Oh, I think so, too. Absolutely. I absolutely think so. Kind of scary. They could be altering the future as well, and we're just puppets and pawns that, you know, travel. It's like we're traveling along one of those escalators, and we really have no control where we came from or where we're going.
Well, but have you ever thought, though, of altering the future, what that really would do to us? I mean, let's say in your life,
mm-hmm.
or in my life, if anything had happened in the past,
right.
that would have altered anything in the future, that would change our direction, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. your family, your career,
right.
just one little thing.
Exactly.
When you think back, it truly could affect it, couldn't it?
Well, not just yours, but people who knew you, people who didn't know you. I mean, everybody that, like, again, it goes back to that chain of cause and effect and that sort of throwing the pebble in the pond, the ripple. It's not just you, the pebble. It's all of the ripples that come out from everything that you ever did. So you go back and change one small thing. You're not just changing your future. You're changing the futures of everyone that you influenced or were involved with.
But it also might have changed it for the better.
It could.
It's not all bad.
Know. Yeah. See, it's like, how do you know?
As a matter of fact, you've given me an idea. Next hour, when we take other phone calls besides just questions for you,
mm-hmm.
I'd like people to share that one special question, and that
I would love that.
If they had to go back into time and change one thing, what would it be?
I love that. I'm glad you're going to do that because that fascinates.
That's like a research project just for you.
It is. Yeah.
All right. Let's go now to Pennsylvania. Dave's with us. Hey, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, David. And you're in Enbridge, aren't you? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask you, would it be possible to time travel in a way like if your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren, if they went back to a place where you once was before, after they were born and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Something in that sort.
Would they affect the time travel?
I guess. Could they alter the future?
Marie, I would think they would have to physically get involved with something rather than just be there as a witness.
I used to think that too. And then with all the research I've done into quantum physics and that darn observer effect made me wonder, can just the act of observation, can you just being there as an observer influence or change something? So I'm not 100% sure about that. You know, it's like, what is that movie, Christmas Carol, you know, where the ghost of Christmas,
Scrooge.
Present and future, they take.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Movie.
And he's just observing. But if we follow quantum physics, just his sheer act of being there.
Well, but he's not affecting anything as that observer. I mean, remembering that movie, because I watched it 10,000 times.
Right.
You know, he was with those three spirits,
mm-hmm.
and each time he was only a witness. I mean, whether he saw Tiny Tim dead or his own future gone, the only way he altered it was by changing his life when he came back.
Sure,
that's right.
Sure. But it's a hard thing to say for sure, because that's, you know, the observer effect is something that we now have to take into consideration. Unless, of course, things that happen at the quantum level cannot be extrapolated necessarily to the bigger scale. But, yeah, I mean, if you go back and you change something, obviously you need to think about where that chain of cause and effect ends. It may not ever end.
Well, what about also, you know, Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life?
Right.
One of those classics where had he not lived, everybody's life would have changed, would have been affected.
Exactly. Those are great movies because they really do play around with Time travel paradox.
Well, they do. They make you think about the possibilities if these things happen. I mean, I remember the scene where, you know, remember Mr. Gower, the druggist, smacked him in the ear and his ears started bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. And, you know, but he didn't understand that Mr. Gower's son had just died and the guy had lost it. But, you know, he looked at those things and he changed it.
Yeah, and I think you can go back in time and get a lot of answers to questions that you have now in the present as to why things happened the way they did or why somebody did something that they did that you didn't understand.
Let's go to Portland, Oregon. David's with us west of the Rockies. Hi, David. Thanks for calling.
Wow, thank you. I'm happy to be on the air.
Super.
Awesome. I have two questions for you. The first one is, do you think that time travel has anything to do with mass disappearances? As in, like, I'm not sure exactly how it correlates, but, like, maybe, like, a mass wormhole opening up and just somehow people disappearing?
You know, actually, we were talking about that last hour, about that possibility.
Right.
Last half hour. And it's conceivable.
Yeah.
That they're falling into these portals and they're gone.
They're in another time.
Also, did you have an update on that village in China where I think the last disappearance I heard of?
The whole town was gone, right?
Yeah.
No, nothing. I mean, I think it's still gone. That was a weird story, Marie.
I remember seeing that, too.
They don't know where it is.
And I couldn't remember if they had resolved it or figured out what happened.
We'll have to track that down.
Yeah, I kind of lost track of it.
Maybe a huge, you know, a huge sinkhole just gobbled it up.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot of seismic activity there, don't they? So you never know.
No, you never know at all. Hey, where do you get your book? This book is from the future.
Oh, it's everywhere. Everywhere in the present. Regular brick-and-mortar bookstores, all the online bookstores. I always like to say, wherever fine books are sold.
Well, that's good. He sounds like a great little announcer.
There you go.
All right, Marie, stay with us. We're going to come back with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll continue taking phone calls with you. And how about next hour, that question, what would you change in your life if you had that ability to go back into time? Kind of fascinating, isn't it? We'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. And tonight we're talking with Marie Jones. Her work, this book is from the future, A Journey Through Portals, Relativity, Wormholes, and Other Adventures in Time Travel. Fascinating. Back with more with her in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Marie Jones. Marie, you're a metaphysical minister. What is that?
I was a metaphysical minister. I'm no longer licensed. I studied with Church of Religious Science and New Thought. And I was a minister for several years. I performed weddings and things like that. And then I moved to a certain part of San Diego County that is unincorporated. And they could never figure out how to get my business license. I was like, okay, I'm not doing any more weddings. But it's, metaphysics is just beyond physics, beyond science. It's sort of the bridging of, I like to say, the natural and the supernatural, or the science and the spirit. So it's really any study that incorporates that, and it does include a lot of knowledge and teaching from other religious and spiritual traditions.
And tell me about the Arkansas Paranormal Studies team.
This is Larry's organization. He has a research organization, a very large, well-equipped one that he has been running for about 14 years now. I'm sorry, not that many years, 5 or 6 years. He's been investigating and researching for that long.
But,
when we decided to start working together, I came on as director of special projects so that Larry and I could come up with ideas and concepts that he could then go out in the field and research. So we get that sort of field data that either corroborates or doesn't the ideas that we're trying to come up with.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line, Angelo in San Diego. Close to you, Marie. Go ahead, yeah. Angelo.
Oh, hi. Hi, George. Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Hi there. Marie, I'm, fellow San Diegan here.
Yay.
Hi there. I do believe I may have met you at Andrew Bisagi's seminar at the Swedenborg Church.
No, I wasn't there.
Oh, but you're your voice sounds familiar and your name. It's so weird.
Oh, my. You met my doppelganger from the parallel universe.
There was all kinds of people just like you there.
How funny.
The reason that I'm calling is because one thing that I heard in his seminar. Now, have you been to one of his seminars?
No, I haven't, but I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Oh, I was, like, tripped out for about 3 days for the seminar.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Barack Obama was a time traveler. Frank Sinatra. He claimed that Frank Sinatra's song "Fly Me to the Moon" was actually about "Fly Me to the Moon." Yeah.
Hey.
And he was saying, and he says, "Yeah, and hear the words. It says, you know, let me feel what life is like on Jupiter and Mars." So he was actually saying, "Yeah, Frank Sinatra was actually a time jumper or whatever." Yeah, I heard all that stuff. It was really interesting. But the one thing that he said that made me really think was a kind of a prediction. And he said that tears in the time-space continuum would continue, and there's something, I forget all the details in the scientific mumbo-jumbo, but things are kind of unraveling, and that all of a sudden, don't be surprised when you're shopping at a Ralph's or a Vons if, oh my God, there's a person on a bicycle from the 1920s that appears in your aisle.
Huh.
And I wonder,
looking for that.
I wonder if that person will be aware that he or she is there.
Yeah, that's true. Some kind of ghost where they're just, you're just seeing them in their universe, but they're not aware of you at all.
Oh, you heard about that story. This is a bizarre one, of a taxi cab driver in New York who ran over and killed someone, and the guy just popped up in front of him wearing 1800s clothes. And nobody knew who he was.
Exactly. Just dropped in.
He just showed up.
Their time frame. Mm-hmm.
It is. Angelo, thanks for your call. Let's go to Catherine in Toronto, Canada, international line. Hi, Catherine. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, George?
Good. Thank you.
And it's nice to hear you, Maria.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
Listen, well, I'm thinking of the what you were saying about what would you do if you could go back. Well, I... On October 7th, 1958, I would like to go back and tell my father that someone had been paid to not de-ice his wings. And they went up into a snowstorm and came down quickly, not being alive at the end of that. So it was a tragic day for our family, and I think that... I would love to give him that information. It would have made a huge difference in our family.
It should. Why did they not de-ice the wings?
Well, my dad had just found, he was up there, he was an oil man. He'd come back from the war, a decorated hero, and just had the world by the tail, you know. So he had a geologist. He had tempted the geologist that was working for Imperial Oil at the time by saying, do you want a wage or do you want a percentage? Because the guy was getting a wage. So the guy came.
Oh.
So this guy was showing, you know, these guys, my dad and the guy who drove them all through the war and the tanks that he drove were up and they were finding the most oil fields in the world, you know. And Howard Hughes was not very keen on this because 3 weeks after he died, the company was broken up, and everything was paid off for our family. We got a percentage until even today. We still get percentages of this field.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was Howard Hughes' companies that broke it down and divided it up into different companies so that he had power of it. Because they had gone down to the field that day in his plane and were bringing back core samples. And the first planes that came along, like back then, the government didn't have airplanes. It was all oil companies that had the oil.
They owned them,
had
yeah.
Private planes. Right. So it was the Imperial Oils or Howard Hughes' companies that found his plane first and got those core samples and knew exactly what they had in the ground.
Well, that's just a sample, Marie, of what people will do when they can go back into time.
Absolutely. And it's always a personal story.
I mean, would you go back into time and kill Hitler?
This is really funny because that's one of the things that, you know, a scenario that Larry and I wrote about in the book is, sure, I mean, who wouldn't? Except, what if, in doing so, you triggered a whole line of events that actually turned out even worse? so that instead of saying 6 to 8 million people died, 60 million.
Well, first of all, if you go back into time and kill Hitler,
mm-hmm.
and the Holocaust then did not happen because you killed Hitler,
right?
Would you have the state of Israel?
Yeah, that's the thing, is you got to try to think.
I mean, what other ramifications would happen?
Exactly. You literally have to follow that line of cause and effect and every possible scenario you could think of that might be influenced by that. But you
save 6 million lives.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, weighing the scales of choosing A and B when there's benefit and negative to both. I would not want to have that decision. That's why I think time travel is so frustrating.
They are perplexing. The other part of all this, too,
mm-hmm.
and we'll chat with some of the people when they call next hour, is maybe you don't change anything.
Right.
You take it. It was meant to be, mm-hmm. and let it be, no matter what.
Right.
The horrible car accident, the bad medical conditions. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish, if I could go back into time, that I would have been a little more aware of alternative medicine, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have been more of a health nut than I am now.
Oh, I think a lot of people, that would be one of the big things. I would have exercised more. I would have, you know, listened to my doctor or eaten better. I'm a big believer in destiny. I have a hard time thinking that if something is meant to be, that you could maybe alter it. So, you know, that brings that whole idea of destiny and free will into play.
Father backs up over his little kid on a tricycle.
Right.
Would he want to go back in the time and alter that? I would think absolutely.
Absolutely. I know I would, unless somehow I could get a vision of why that needed to happen and if there was a reason, and my altering it might end up doing far more damage than I could ever imagine. But without that vision, sure. I mean, if it happened to my kid, absolutely. I would want to take that risk and go back and fix that.
Bill in Tallahassee, Alabama. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
And listen, look, one thing with just a little bit of humor for the night, okay?
Okay.
You can't have time travel without a flux capacitor. Okay?
I totally agree.
Right, now,
and here's the other thing, and this is dead serious, okay? On these time splits, when I was a young man, about 17 years old, there was a guy named Clifford Smith that lived behind us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like in his 20s and all, and he used to take us boys hunting, and he was a big fisherman and all that. And we were in his backyard, and we had a Bowie knife that was like 17 to 18 inches long. This is a big, heavy Bowie knife, okay? And not like an arrow that you can shoot and it will go up under the grass and you never find it. And we were throwing and sticking it up in this tree. And I threw this, there was three of us, me, Jim Smith, and P.C. Smith, and Jimmy Breeden. And I threw that knife.
Mm-hmm.
It flashed past that tree. To this day, we've never seen it. We looked in the yard next to it. It would tumble if it hit. It didn't go up in a tree.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big of a tree, okay? Now, my question is this, okay? I do believe that it went into some kind of other dimension, okay? Now, if at a later time and date, say right now,
mm-hmm.
some guy is cutting that yard, and he walks past that tree, and that knife buries in his neck or his back and kills him, and they find my fingerprints on it.
Oh, no.
Are they going to come get me
that
now?
That is going to be the first case of time travel murder
with
that will ever be tried. You'll need a really good lawyer.
With verifiable DNA.
That is so strange.
Well, you never know.
No, you don't.
You never know. Hey, Bill, thanks for sharing that with us. We'll go now to Rock Hill, South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Barry's with us. Go ahead, Barry.
Hello there, George. Always a pleasure to speak to you again, buddy.
Good morning.
We used to talk about old Ed Leaps comment. I heard Josh Warren on there a couple of Fridays ago saying he thought George did a lot of that work himself, and he did. But hey, believe me, he has some kind of help to help him. But anyway, about tonight, my Maria, boy, what a wonderful subject, and everybody is fascinated with time travel. And
yes.
George, you were right on. Rod Taylor played the original part.
That's right.
In the time machine, and it was I've seen it 10 times.
Oh, there you go.
Movie. Wonderful movie. But Marie, if I had a chance to have a time machine, as much as I'd love to go back in the past and see myself as a kid or whatever,
right?
I would go into the future to see if I could see what was happening to the human race. I'm
right.
afraid
if
we're
we going to
all kill ourselves in the next 20 or 50 years.
You already know that answer.
Yeah.
Well, in other words, if I could just do that and somehow come back
with a warning or some strategy for not doing that.
Oh, I would do everything I could to convince humanity that we're headed for doom and we've got to change.
Mm-hmm. It does make you wonder if there are people that have already done that and they come back and try to warn us. And what do? We ignore
them.
We
ridicule them.
They're crazy. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I'm not a believer in man-made climate change. We may be speeding things up, but this is a cycle. It's going to happen. But someone, let's say if they're a time traveler and they come back and they say, there's no doubt about it, these emissions and these factories and everything else, you people contributed to destroying the planet and yourselves. How many people would listen to them?
Exactly. Exactly. Profits. I mean, look at our past history and how we dealt with prophets of all kinds.
We killed them.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, that is true. I mean, most of the people who do want to go into the future want to see, either personally or collectively, how things work out. And then I always ask, well, what if you go into the future and see your own, yourself 10, 20 years from now, and you don't like what you see? Are you now going to alter that? Because what if
you come back and diet?
Right. Or what if you make your future worse by trying to change what you saw? So, again, it just brings up all those frustrating paradoxes of should I make any changes or not? Just leave well enough alone.
We've got Rex in Tucson, Arizona, first-time caller. Good morning, Rex.
Good morning, George. How are you?
Okay, sir. Thank you.
1981, I was doing home repair work, and I met a fellow who was a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air Force.
Okay.
And I did a work over a number of months for him. We became pretty good friends. And he and I got into a lot of philosophical conversations. And one day he says, have you ever heard of an area called Dreamland?
Ah.
And I said, no, I haven't. At the time, I really hadn't. But by this time in my life, I'm thoroughly into it. But at the time, he said to me, well, I did a lot of flying. He says, up in Nevada, he says, it's a test area for the military. He says, if you can think of it, he says, they are working on it there.
Amen.
And at the time, I've always been a time travel fanatic. And I says, are they working on time travel? And he says, I took an oath that I wouldn't say anything when I retired. He said, I could lose my retirement benefits and everything that I've worked for. But he says, if you can think of it, they are working on it there.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, I've listened to people, their stories on Area 51, Dreamland, all of this. And I put this together over the years. And I'm thinking, God, one of these days I'm going to have to get through to Art or George and tell them this story, because it was unbelievable at the time.
Right.
And it really captured my imagination. And one of the things he said, if I could go back in time, he says, I'd love to study the Bible and see this, like you mentioned earlier about,
right. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would like to change anything in my life, because I'm very happy with my life as it is.
Oh, you are lucky. You're one of the few people that has said that.
Yeah, I'm just afraid I'd screw up something along the line.
make it worse.
make it worse, because I'm so happy right now in my life. I've got a great life, and I thought, there are other things that would be interesting to see, but I'm afraid
you might mess up something.
Mess too much up. It's like I've always thought about what were the disasters that people like to go back to and study, and I'm thinking, what if somebody as a recreational time traveler actually caused these disasters in the past by changing something?
Exactly. That's a great movie idea. There you go.
Right.
Great
so
stuff.
Over the years, I've been wanting to get through and tell somebody, you know, I met this guy. He was an incredible person. He's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought, you know, that's interesting. He says, if you can think of it, they're working on it.
I believe that.
I do, too.
That backs up
too.
Many of the things that we've thought about Area 51, indeed. Rex, thanks for that story and sharing that with us as well. Next hour, of course, we're going to continue taking your calls, specifically to, if you go back into time, what would you change for your own life? Why don't you share that with us? It is remarkable how some people just don't want to change anything.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's how I want to live my life. I want to be able to say, no, I'm happy. I wouldn't change a thing. And I think that one of the reasons why so many people want to go back to the past is regret. So the solution to that
to
is
make
to,
it,
live
to make it well, to make
yes.
it better.
Live good now
yep.
in the present.
Well, you know, relationships that you might have fixed
right.
or things you could have done a little differently, career changes,
mm-hmm.
anything like that. You know, it's perplexing. It really is. And then there's that old saying, never look back.
Exactly.
Just look forward.
You're not going that direction.
Learn
look forward.
Learn from the things you have done. Life
right.
lessons.
Right, right. Take the lessons with you, but don't hang on to
coming back with more with you, Marie, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.